This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Dan Hurley. In 2018, YouTube has become pivotal to the toy industry, as WVXU's Ann Thompson found out when she recently visited a local toy creator, Bang Zoom. YouTube is not only critical in marketing toys, all the craziness that lives on YouTube can also inspire new toys.
Inside its showroom near Eden Park, co-founder of Bang Zoom Design, Mike Hoding, shows off several walls of brightly packaged toys, some of them his company has designed for this holiday season.
For 2018 Christmas, we have a couple toys that might be seen on the hot list, and one of them is Chow Crown.
Picture this. A crown is spinning on your head with dangling forks and food. It's an idea he sold to Hasbro.
Playing with your food just got a whole new spin. It's Chow Crown from Hasbro Gaming. Fit your food on the forks and set the crown spinning. Gobble it up before the music stops and out-jump the competition. Food not included. Additional purchase, adult assembly, and supervision required.
Kids and adults are shown trying to bite into things like strawberries, marshmallows, and chips while the food is moving around their head. You can just imagine what that looks like in a YouTube video. Again, Bang Zoom's Hoding.
The trend right now for toys is, can the game look good on YouTube? And so that's how toy companies are advertising, is they go straight to YouTube and they want to make it viral. So they want toys that look silly, and this one takes the cake, and so literally.
YouTube helps drive sales as more and more kids watch the toys in action. Hair Dorables is another creation from Bang Zoom. It's a mystery which doll kids are getting out of the box. They go through a series of clues before finding out. In this YouTube video, Macaroni Live's Joe Beth and special guest Rebecca unbox one of these Hair Dorables.
She's so cute.
Oh, show her. Oh my goodness, how cute is she? Oh, let's pull her out of there. Okay, so our assumptions were right. She is. Oh my gosh, look at that hair.
Her hair is amazing.
And voila. Free advertising. For the toy industry, it's all about the number of hits on these YouTube videos.
When one toy company finds gold, so to speak, and all the other toy companies follow suit. So like Pie Face was a huge game that came out a couple years ago. And the toy industry realized that this is the best way to market, is to have kids do the marketing for them. So they'll undo the unboxing, or they'll play the game. And if it's compelling enough that it has 30 million hits, that's almost free advertising.
Hoding and his staff of eight get a lot of their ideas from videos on social media. Take Rolly, my kissing puppy.
Puppies, who hates a puppy? Nobody. So we saw these puppies licking kids and giggling and everything. So we thought licking puppies can only be a winner, right? So we developed this prototype of this really specific articulating, it's like a robotic action. There's deep inside of this toy is a complicated robotic mechanism that gives this puppy a realistic licking action.
The toy is new this season, and videos are already up on YouTube. Over its nearly 30-year history, Bang Zoom Design has had about 200 toys on the shelves. Hoding says there are only 30 independent inventor companies like his in the world. The big toy makers run out of ideas and come to them. Yellies from Bang Zoom just hit the shelf. They are furry, cute spiders who run away when you yell. Hoding demonstrates.
Go, 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 go. Go, 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 go. There's Yellies.
A computer chip with a microphone senses volume, revs up the motor, and the spiders go faster. Bang Zoom is now working on toys for the year 2020. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.
What if you have people on your list who aren't in the right age group or don't have the right personality to appreciate a Chow Crown or a Kissy Puppy? Or a Yelly, for that matter, and you want to give them something special, something you created just for them. We are joined now by the storefront director of Indigo Hippo, Emily Farrison, and the executive director of Happen, Inc., Tommy Roof. Welcome to both of you for
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And Tommy, I got a feeling that as we talk about Happen and the lab in a few minutes, as we get there, I don't know. I think maybe some of the people who come in would be inspired by what they just heard there. Like the toy sitting right in front of me at the moment.
Yeah. The toys keep getting wackier and wackier, don't they?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll talk about how this one got wacky. So let's start out with Happen Inc. In Northside. What's the mission? What's the mission vision of Happen Inc.?
The goal is for us to always bring together families and communities through creative activities and events. So we have 8 programs, and we have a Happen Art Studio that's right on the corner of Hamilton and Chase, and that's always free to the community. So we have open sessions and arts and crafts and special events there, and it's totally free for families to come in. And what we're trying to do is really build the community by bringing people together. Happens Toy Lab is right next door to it, and that also fits our mission in that it's a creative place where kids can put together pieces and parts of toys that have been discarded. So people donate their old and broken toys, and then we cut them and sort them and clean them and put them into our studio, and kids get to come in and pick out 7 parts and create their own one-of-a-kind toy. It also helps to fund Happen and all our free activities. So the proceeds is $12 to build a toy, and we do birthday parties and special events. And all those proceeds go to help offset all the free programs that we offer to the community next door and out in Cincinnati.
So you brought one in that I could see, and it's labeled 17,917. And that's how many toys you've
yes.
made?
Yes. Yeah, actually,
people have made.
Yes. We're well over 18,000 toys now. We're close to about 2,000 visitors a year coming in. And that means that we've saved over 4 tons of plastic from going to landfills. So there's always a life lesson with our Happen activities. And with Toy Lab, it's that everything that we use, even our toys, gets discarded in some way. And so kids know about recycling. But the word upcycling is usually a new term. So taking something old and turning it into something new again. And that's the life lesson. And really the important thing about Happens Toy Lab is that we're saving all that plastic from going to landfills, and kids are learning at the same time.
Emily, the Indigo Hippo is different. Talk to me about your organization. What's the mission?
Sure. We've definitely got some similarities to Tommy here. So we are on a 100% donation-based, we like to say, thrift store for art supplies over on Main Street.
Down and over the Rhine.
Yes,
right?
Down and over the Rhine. And our mission is really to spread inclusion and accessibility through creativity and simultaneously keeping great materials that can be used and reused out of the waste stream and connecting them to artists and creatives and people who can and want to use them.
So do you also have – so people can come in and purchase things that have been donated?
Absolutely.
And who would come in? Are those artists who are coming in, or are those families?
Truly everybody. We see artists. We see students. We're quite close to the local universities. So, yeah, students, artists, educators, really anybody who wants to create. Sometimes it's people who are just in for the weekend and are picking up this, that, or the other.
So do you also have programs that you do? I mean, is there a programming side?
There is a programming side. We've shifted a little bit in the last year and a half to doing more of a teacher training model, but we do have some standing programming with like the Cincinnati Art Museum. We've worked with the Boys and Girls Club. The last 2 years did all the visual arts programming for Camp Joy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you would go out to Camp Joy and work with groups out
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And bring creative reuse materials from the storefront with us.
Okay. So this reuse of materials mm-hmm. is, I mean, people are used to the term recycle.
Exactly.
But with recycling, they ultimately end up, who knows where, being shipped out of the country or whatever,
right.
if it's paper and whatever, aluminum. But this is reuse. It's not destroying them. It's not crushing them.
Exactly.
It's so you're both reusing.
Yeah, and also we're celebrating in creativity too. So,
indeed.
I mean, having a child or even an adult use their mind and imagination to take something old and turn it into something new again, that's really a wonderful thing that people can experience in there. They're empowered by it, you know, to be able to create their own objects, their own sculptures, their own artwork. It goes many different ways of celebrating the arts.
So, Tommy, you were talking about the toy lab before. The focus, though, is on families, parents, and children coming in together to do this, right?
Right.
It's building that family structure and interaction, but also community is in a larger sense. So that's sort of a core of what you're doing.
Yes. And with Toy Lab, it's really interesting because, you know, especially for birthday parties and activities, it's just not just the child and the parent coming in. You have grandparents and aunts and uncles and neighbors and, you know.
So you could do a birthday party.
Oh, yeah. There. We do all kinds of different events there. So, and we also do have had adults have their birthday parties. Not too long ago, we had a gentleman celebrate his 40th birthday at Toy Lab, and it was a surprise. So his wife set it all up, and we watched him come across
he
the street.
Didn't know
he didn't know. It was total surprise. He came in with his two daughters, and little did he know that all of his high school buddies were hiding in the party room and surprised him, and they all built toys together.
And when you look at a bunch of adults who are in that late 30s, 40 range, are they still creative? Do you really need some kids around to help with this?
No, absolutely. Everybody is blessed with that, you know, creativity. And our oldest toy maker was 94. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's good. So, Emily, when parents are trying to maybe work with children or with grandchildren, mm-hmm. Art supplies can be expensive.
Absolutely.
And if you go to buy things new, whether it's paint or whether it's cloth, mm-hmm. And a lot of times that can get consumed pretty quickly, especially with younger children who kind of go through a lot of stuff.
Right.
So is that part of what you're trying to serve there too, is to make sure people have the materials they can take home and work with?
Absolutely. Being a creative reuse center and one that is 100% donation-based, we have expanded our access by offering a pay-what-you-can scale for all of our materials in our store. So that allows everybody to truly get what they need. And we do it with a little colored dot system. So especially for kids, it's great. Parents can come in and tell them to find an item with a colored dot on it.
Pay what you can.
Pay what you can.
Color dots. So, connect the dots for me.
Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. So with each colored dot goes, it corresponds with a suggested value range.
Okay.
So therefore, people have a suggested range of what they would pay. But it's truly up to, you know, deciding on the value for yourself, deciding what you can pay, what works for you. And we've seen that be wildly successful and really allow people to get the materials that they need to create.
But is that how you survive as an organization?
Primarily.
By people coming and
primarily, yep. And we like to pose it as it's sort of a pay it forward mentality a little bit. You know, can you pay a little bit more so someone else can pay a little bit less? So there's really this sense of community and helping each other out, keeping materials from being pitched, but also making sure everybody can get what they need to be creative.
So it's a social enterprise.
Indeed.
I mean, you're making money. How long has Happen been around?
We, in March, we are going to be celebrating our 20th year.
That's a long time for a venture like this.
It is.
What did you think it was going to be 20 years ago?
You know, I started it with the idea that it would just be a three-year art project.
You're coming out of a marketing background, right?
Right. And I had no idea that, or didn't even really think about past 3 years. I knew that, for 3 years we wanted to create great programming and do great things for the community. And, 20 years later, it's been an amazing adventure.
Yeah. Do you have programs that are particularly geared for the Christmas, either because somebody can come in and do something to create something for this Christmas season? Or I was thinking as I was reading about things, but about both of your organizations, gift certificates that people could use. You know, we're getting close and there may not be time to really act on everything this year. Are there ways of sort of accommodating the needs of that Christmas gift? This would be a little bit different, a little bit special.
This year at Happen Happens Toy Lab, we actually have gift cards. So you can come in and purchase a gift card that you can use all year round for any of the merchandise from Happens Toy Lab or from Happen Incorporated. And then we also are finding that we had one child came in and built 8 toys. And those toys were actually for gifts of all of his cousins. And we thought that was incredible. And we've been promoting that as a great way, not just to go out and buy a toy, but to build a toy for another family member or friend. Because that child then, when they opened up the presents, their parents, his parents said that, you know, he had a story behind it. He named all of them. There was a relationship there.
So toys have names?
Oh, yeah. Each child has to name their toy, give them special powers. If you go to our website and look on our toy gallery, you'll see over 18,000 toys with the child's first name, how old they are, the name of the toy, and the superpowers, and a picture of the toy.
Oh, they have superpowers.
Oh, yeah. You got to give them superpowers.
Does this toy
have superpowers? I'm not sure. I might have to leave that for you to name the superpowers on that one. That one's pretty crazy.
Well, I'm focusing on the hot dog and bun that's right there. Somehow, I don't know, time of the day or something that might be. How about you, Emily? What for Christmas specific?
Absolutely.
What do you have that might work there?
Yeah, likewise, we also have gift cards. So it's great to be able to gift somebody a gift card and they can come in and choose their own materials. We also have such a wide breadth of materials that expand a little bit beyond what you would normally find in an art store, that it's a great place to come get any type of material you would need to create a gift. And then this time of year is really special because we have a gallery in the shop, and so we have a holiday gift show, and that's one of our most fun shows of the year, and it features over 28 local artists. And everything on the wall is handmade by a local artist, and it's kind of focused on giftable items, so really yeah. Wide breadth of things.
And Tommy, did I see something that Santa is visiting with a special twist at Happen?
Oh, yeah. We every year Santa comes the Saturday before Christmas. So
still time to take part of this.
And you bring your own camera. It's totally free. It's different than the malls because we offer treats and crafts, and you can take your time, can stay as long as you like.
So you can get a photo of your crying child on Santa's lap.
Oh, absolutely.
And not pay for it.
That's right. Not stand in line for it. So yes. So that's a big one. And we'll also have today and tomorrow are our last days for milk and cookie plates. So over the last month, parents and kids have been coming in and making their own plates for Santa. And then on the 20th, we have
plates that you can put your cookie on Christmas Eve night.
Yeah, we have a kiln. We do full ceramics. And so they are, and it's become a family tradition. This is our 6th year of doing it. And then on the 20th, we have milk and cookies night. And that's when Mrs. Claus comes in. We have all the plates on display. You can come pick up your plates and, of course, have milk and cookies.
Okay. That sounds fun. We have a caller. Marilyn is called in and I think has a way of even broadening this out a little bit. Marilyn, what's your observation point that you wanted to get in here?
Yeah, hi. I recently discovered another resale reuse place in Cincinnati. It's in Pleasant Ridge and it's called Scrap It Up Cincinnati.
And do you know what, sort of what they do, what they're focused on?
I volunteer there, so okay. It's mostly fabrics, but again, they have got all kinds of things that are meant to be reused in some imaginative way, you know, everything from plastic containers and picture frames, lots of fabric we have had. I don't know if we still have a whole lot of Christmas stuff, Christmas fabrics, decor, there's tons of yarn. There's fabric samples from, like, decorators. There's just tons of stuff, and it's in Pleasant Ridge.
Okay.
They're a great company. I just want to mention that, you know, it takes a community to really for us to be able to reuse and upcycle things and Scrap It Up. I got to say, they've been great to us. So they've donated things that they thought would fit well with our studio and with our
that maybe doesn't
toy
fit
lab.
Into their mm-hmm. product
yeah,
line.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
So, Emily, do you have anything coming up that's sort of fresh and new for the new year?
The new year. Let's see.
Could be that you're
just keeping on.
Keeping on, not bad. Tommy, what?
Well, we have our big New Year's Eve party coming up, so families can sign up for it. You do have to
have
a reservation.
Wild and crazy?
Well, it is. It's a big dance party, and we bring pizza in, the whole thing. But what's special is that we set the clocks back. So, you know, the ball drops at midnight, but that's really 7 o'clock happen time. So all the kids, you know, dance and dance and dance until the ball drops, and then that's really 7 o'clock. So everyone's at home by 7:30 or 8, and the parents love it because everyone's worn out. And
how do you get New York to cooperate?
That's right. That's right. That's a late one for me too. So, okay,
that sounds like fun. Well, both of these organizations, one in Over the Rhine, one in Northside, doing really good work. And I want to thank Emily Farrison and Tommy Roof for joining us this afternoon. And congratulations on the work you're doing. And I hope between now and Christmas, there's a lot of activity at both of your locations. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Children have trusted the U.S. Post Office to deliver letters to Santa Claus at the North Pole since at least 1874. But that's not all that the Post Office does to help Santa. WVXU reporter Tana Weingartner caught up with Kimberly Davis, one of Santa's chief elves here in Cincinnati, in the lobby of the Dalton Street Post Office, where she reviews requests and matches up volunteers in Operation Santa.
We remove all personal information from the letter. Only thing the public will see is what the people are asking for, their story, the sizes, the ages of the children. And what happens is people from the public walk in the door and they go, hey, what's going on here? And then this is Operation Santa. And they sit down and that's how all the families get adopted. So.
How many families do you have this year?
So far I have 220 letters and I have 50 families already adopted.
And when did you start and when does it end?
It started November 13th, but I was receiving letters probably the end of September. And the last day for letters and adoption is December the 14th.
That seems like a lot of letters. Does Santa get to everybody?
No, Santa doesn't get to everybody. Well, remember like I said, it's a letter adoption, so it's the public that comes in. So it's not that we just, everybody who gets sends a letter in gets adopted. Well, last year I had an overabundance of letters. It was over 700. And I was able to get, I think, 232 families adopted. Yeah, so a lot of the letters are people who have been in a bad situation, maybe have been homeless in the last year, may have become unemployed in the last few months, so are letting us know that, hey, I'm gonna, you know, Christmas won't be the same at my house, can someone help? So of course, somebody with a good heartstring comes in and goes, oh my God, I can't let this family do this. This year I got quite a few single fathers, which last year I probably had two. I think I've already got four.
Are the families vetted at all, or?
Yes.
How does that work?
When I initially do it, I just make sure that the information is there, and then when I go back to scrub, then I kind of go through the letter to make sure that things are matching.
Can you look at some of your letters and maybe tell me what people are looking for?
Yeah, that's maybe, you know, maybe we'll get some that I've already got in here. So yesterday I received a letter from a kid. It was very thick. So I was like, oh my God, what is this kid asking for? And when I opened it up, it was full of construction paper with pictures from every, I guess, all the toy pictures. I guess he says, I can't write, but I can cut out pictures. So that's what he did. And he made sure all of his stuff was in there. It was so cute. Dear Santa, my name is Vanessa, and I have custody of my 3 great-grandchildren. For a while, about 2 years. I don't have a lot of money, none for Christmas, and I'd like some help for them. So she lists her 3 granddaughters. Sometimes they list things that the kids may like. So she says they like dolls, strollers, skates, and gift cards. And so maybe she can take them shopping. So sometimes the letters are way more involved. It gives you a lot more insight. People send pictures.
There are lots of letters here. Your mental health, how do you handle this?
You know what? I think the balance comes for me is when I get the kids. How you doing? When I get the kids' letters and I open it up and it's, you know, it's a letter full of pictures. It's a thank you, or it's a kid trying to draw a picture of a reindeer and a sleigh and all his toys are falling out the bag. So, of course, there's definitely letters in here that make you go, oh, my God, it can't be. I think I just pray that everybody is being blessed at some point in their life and they don't have to deal with this all the time, just a little bit. So this one is, hi, I'm Dan and I'm 11. I have three sisters and one brother. We need a Christmas Santa. My sisters are Shay, she's 9, Nevaeh, she's 7, Naomi's 4, Anthony is 5. All we need is one toy each. These are the kind of letters. So, of course, that makes you smile because, and it's obvious that a kid wrote it. So, which means he's got a great heart. So, hopefully somebody takes this great family here and helps them out.
If you are interested in helping out with the post office Operation Santa, you can stop down and sign up as long as you have signed up by December the 18th. The present needs to be back to them by December the 19th. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our programs are available on the website, wvxu.org. I'm Dan Hurley.